Now, former FBI Director James Comey gave his first big interview since President Trump fired him last May. Comey sat down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos on 2020. Since then, he's also been on NPR. Throughout the interview, Comey raised concerns about President Trump and his administration. He went so far as to say that Trump was, quote, morally unfit, end quote, to be the president of the United States. Comey also addressed his actions in the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails in the run-up to the 2016 election. President Trump has been critical of Comey in tweets in the run-up to today's release of Comey's book. Mike Wagner is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He also blogs at prowagner.me. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, unprecedented is a word that gets thrown around a lot. I usually don't like it. We're kind of there right now. Former FBI director doing interviews in a book critical of the president who fired him.
The list of people who have done that is short, right? This is a very unique thing that's happening, both in terms of him getting fired in the first place and then him writing this book and going on television, as you said in the intro there, calling the president morally unfit to serve. This is new waters we're wading into.
In his book and in interviews about his book, Comey says, this isn't a book about me and President Trump. This is a book about ethical leadership based on my career. President Trump, a big part of that, though, that seems to be the President Trump part and the Hillary Clinton parts. Those are the parts we're going to focus on, probably.
We're going to focus on those parts. Earlier sections of the book are kind of building a case for Comey to talk about these parts. He's, in the first chapters, kind of laying out, here is evidence that I am an ethical law enforcement official. Here's how I approach things in a nonpartisan, methodical way, trying to get at the truth without thinking about the political ramifications thereof. And so when he gets to the parts about Hillary Clinton and having the press conference about new questions about her emails very close to the election, and when we get to the part about dealing with President Trump and the meetings that Comey had with him before the president fired him, he's tried to lay the case that he's an honest broker here and not trying to behave in political ways, trying to get people on both sides to accept the choices that he made. And what's probably, I think, going to happen is that Clinton supporters will be very critical of his arguments about why he had a press conference about the emails, and Trump supporters will be critical of other things he has said in the book and on television lately about the president.
Partisan reaction there. And James Comey has been really making the case that he was doing what he did not for the truth on the one hand, but also to preserve the integrity of the FBI. Is that possible, or is this sort of partisan view of everything going to affect the FBI now, too?
It's certainly possible. And I think, you know, for a wide swath of Americans, increasingly likely that organizations like the FBI will begin to be viewed in more partisan ways. That's happened to the United States Supreme Court. WisConText has done stories to show how that's happening in Wisconsin state Supreme Court elections, that the voting in counties looks a lot like the presidential voting. And so partisanship is a powerful drug. It invades lots of elements of our lives, and it seems to be invading increasingly numerous elements of our lives in the last several years, and the FBI appears that it's going to be not so different in that regard. And so I think more and more people are going to view the actions that the FBI takes through a partisan lens than other ones that they might use.
This is a unique news story in a lot of ways. What do you see the role of the media as in assessing the claims that Comey is making?
Well, it's a job of the news media to report the verifiable truth. And so they need to press Comey on some of the claims that he makes in terms of the way he characterizes himself and then the behaviors he engaged in. And so one thing that we've seen some folks do, George Stephanopoulos did this in his interview with Comey on ABC, was to say, okay, so you say that you're an apolitical law enforcement official, and yet one of the reasons that Comey gave for having the press conference about Hillary Clinton was Comey's thought that Clinton was going to win, and so we can't have an illegitimate president, or I don't want to start her presidency in this scandal where she gets inaugurated and then we start this surprise investigation. We need to tell the people now, but that's a political calculation. He's deciding to do that because he thought Clinton was going to win, and then in the next breath he says, but I don't do things because of political considerations. And so that sort of thing, I think people need to push Comey on. They also probably should push him on why he waited to write the book until after he got fired. So if there are things that one believes about what about a leader's fitness for office, why not say them when you believe them? Why wait?
Talking to Mike Wagner from UW-Madison about James Comey, former FBI director. He's got a book out. He's doing the rounds on interviews right now, getting lots of attention and lots of criticism from President Trump. I want to give a listen to that ABC interview where Comey is asked about Donald Trump's fitness for the office of president. Here's his response.
A person who sees moral equivalence in Charlottesville, who talks about and treats women like they're pieces of meat, who lies constantly about matters big and small and insists the American people believe it, that person is not fit to be president of the United States on moral grounds.
Well, he didn't do it immediately after being fired, but he is very critical here of President Trump. He said elsewhere, not hoping for the president to be impeached. He thinks citizens should be the ones to vote him out ultimately.
Yeah, he does. He said that at least once in the interview with Stephanopoulos and has made statements similar to that in other venues, I think including his book. And so, yeah, that's sort of the Jim Comey line on the role of citizenship in a democracy.
Are people paying attention? Is this a story that we in the media are focusing on more than the public at large?
Probably, but there are lots of people who care deeply about politics who are following this book and the interviews about the book pretty closely. Strong supporters of the president and strong opponents of the president care about this stuff because they care deeply about the results of elections. The results of elections are meaningful. They set a policy course for the country that is undeniably important. And so it's appropriate to talk about what the former director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation says about the president's fitness for office. It's appropriate to talk about meetings he had with the president. It's appropriate for him to talk about decisions he made when running that law enforcement agency. And so it's not wrong for the news media to want to focus on these things. Just focusing on things that are less related to what it means to live in a democratic republic and more related to getting clicks, say, I'm happy to be critical of the news media. So running the clips about what Comey said about Trump's hair and hand size serves virtually no purpose, as far as I can tell. But talking about how Trump makes decisions and whether he can be trusted, those things are important.
Does this end up falling into another Trump versus insert a name here feud?
That is how the president engages in virtually everything where someone disagrees with him. And he's done that, with respect to James Comey in terms of what he's saying on Twitter, what his surrogates are saying on television. That this is how the president deals with people who disagree with him, especially powerful people who disagree with him strongly.
We're talking to Mike Wagner right now from UW-Madison, looking at former FBI Director James Comey's book and interviews over the last few days, taking a look at the precedent it sets and what it could mean for President Trump. Mike is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He blogs at prowag.me. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you following this? Did you watch the interview? What did you think of it? Did it change your mind about his tenure as FBI chief, his subsequent firing? Do you have the book? Do you have it on order? Are you going to read it? What do you think about what James Comey is saying about the president who fired him? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about former FBI Director James Comey, his upcoming book, his interviews on ABC and NPR and elsewhere, and what his side of the story could mean for voters and the Trump administration. Mike Wagner is with us, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What impact do you think Comey's interview or book will have on President Trump or his administration? What did you take away from what he's had to say? Have your thoughts changed in regards to the former FBI director and his role in the 2016 election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to our callers now. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I guess what troubles me about this whole thing about the FBI is they mentioned that he mentioned, 11 days before the election that they were looking again into the Hillary Clinton emails, but why didn't they mention that they were also, that the FBI was also investigating the Trump campaign? Why mention one and not the other? Either don't mention either or mention both. So that, and I think that's the problem I had. Also, scolding Hillary Clinton in front of the, you know, the hearing, that's not really his job. His job is to say, basically, we concluded that there was no criminal activity, but he went on to, you know, to sort of scold her, and they never mentioned the Trump campaign. And I totally disagree with every living president and James Comey that Donald Trump's not fit to serve as president of the United States.
Well, thanks for the call. Some critiques often brought up of James Comey. Comey distinguished between the Clinton and the Trump investigation. The Clinton one had been publicly referred.
Right.
He had announced that it was closed, and when he reopened, he says he thought, well, if I don't announce it's reopened, that's kind of like acting in the other direction. But the Trump one was not publicly known.
That's his argument. He said that when we closed the Clinton investigation and then we learned that, no, we meaning the FBI, when the FBI learned that there were a lot of emails from Hillary Clinton on Anthony Weiner's laptop, he had what he calls a duty to correct. So if, from his point of view, since the public thought the investigation was over, but it wasn't, he felt he needed to do something about it. He said especially because he thought that she was going to win and he didn't think it would be fair to start her presidency under the pall of an investigation that was a surprise. So that's the argument he makes about Clinton. And then, as you say, the argument he makes about Trump is that, well, people didn't know he was being investigated. And at the time we're talking about, he wasn't as much of a target of the investigation as other folks in his campaign.
Right. It was Trump's campaign.
It wasn't
Trump
himself. Right. And so Comey sees a distinction in those modes of his behavior.
And people will argue about those
until the end of time.
Thanks for that call, Willem. Dina is with us next in Lake Geneva. Dina, hi.
Hi. Here's what I want to say to everyone. Stop feeding the beast. Do not watch these interviews. Do not buy these books. The second you take a cent for your story, you lose me. You're not a credible source of information. If he had information about the president, then do the logical, sense, legal manner. But it's all scandal. And I'm not a Trump supporter, but I don't agree when they attack Clinton, Obama, Trump, whomever. Just people need to stop feeding into it.
Dina, thanks for the call. He's selling a book, just generating unneeded scandal.
I mean, that's certainly a way to look at it, right? If, as your caller said, if he had things to say about the president's fitness for office, he could have said so and not profited from it. He could have not written a book and just said those things. He's chosen to do this under writing a book. It's a free country. You can write a book and try to make money doing that sort of thing. But it certainly will affect how credible he's interpreted to be amongst some people out in the audience, including Dina there.
Dina, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Artis with us in Delafield. Artis, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Nothing that I, you know, the book is available for Amazon Kindle, so I do plan to read it. Nothing he's saying about Trump is a surprise to me or anything that I disagree with. I get tired of the way Trump treats people, his disgusting comments. It's just distressing every day to wake up and just hear other things that he said. I do think he is unfit for office. Now, as far as not impeaching him, well, I guess it's going to depend what comes out of the investigation. But, I mean, you know, if something criminal does come out, then I think it needs to be dealt with.
Artis, thanks for the call. Artis says no surprises for her. And is this going to be another thing where people view it through a partisan lens? If you already thought these things, he confirms it. If you didn't, you reject him.
I think so. And he largely says what you'd expect him to say, which is, I made good decisions. Here's why I made them. And it's also not surprising that someone who got fired by the president has critical things to say about the president.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Peter with us in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi. James Comey is really self-serving. And I really don't take him seriously when he says that he doesn't want to be a political force and he doesn't want to insert himself politically into politics, because every single opportunity he had to affect politics, he did it. With the whole Hillary Clinton email situation, there's people in the government right now probably doing far worse things with their email. that don't get looked at. But just because the Republicans were talking about that nonstop with the email situation, he took a hard look into it when it really was maybe something that the FBI should have looked at for a day or a week and then said there's nothing here. Hillary Clinton ended up producing her emails anyway. So that whole thing that he claims that he needed to give a press conference, I think is just absurd.
Peter, thanks for the call. And people, we're just about out of time, but people across the political spectrum, Donald Trump has called him a showboater. Mm-hmm. People have talked, like Peter, saying he inserts himself publicly into stories where he didn't necessarily need to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reasonable critique. I think if you look at the balance of Comey's career, he seems to care deeply about his perception of his duty. And the way he explains the stuff that he does is all described and framed in the way of how he approaches what his duty is. There's a duty to correct if I said the investigation was over. There's a duty not to spread stuff until we have something to say about someone. And so those are wrapped up in his own view of his job, and it's not at all surprising that people are seeing those in a variety of ways.
As we wrap up, Mike, in our warp speed media mm-hmm. climate here, are we going to be talking about James Comey's book in a week or two, or is it going to be bumped by the next big thing?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if something bumped it off. Everything that, you know, I thought would be big is gone. Like Paul Ryan is resigning, and that's out of the news, or so it's hard to know, but I suspect in our current cycle and with our current president that things will change rapidly.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Mike Wagner is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He also blogs at prowag.me. He joined us on Central Time today to talk about former FBI Director James Comey's big interview since President Trump fired him last year, his upcoming book, and the impact he could have on the Trump administration.